Time. We're going to talk about summer. We're going to talk about vacation today. But I hope they come out tonight, 5 o'clock, for our backyard bash where we open up the grounds to the community to come in. Our desire when we started planning all of this is that it would be a community event. It's hosted by us as Christians. The idea is a bridge event. Have them come on our property. Find out that we're normal. We're not strange people. Well, a few of you may be strange, but for the most part, we're normal people. And it was just so gratifying that we were contacted by these radio stations who happened, I don't know how they heard about it, said, can we come? Can we be on site when you're doing this? And we said, sure. So that just speaks so well, that this is our desire, to make this a community event where we can come. Now, you come and you be salt and light. You mingle with the people, answer any questions or maybe about the church or whatever. Just be open to whatever God would use you tonight. And so hope that you come and enjoy this evening. Well, it's vacation time. Looking around at the empty seats this morning, some people have vacated their seats. They are on vacation. And that's okay. I want to talk to you about vacations today. It's my topic, as I was just sort of waiting on the Lord what to share this morning. Kept coming over in my mind, vacations. You know, when the Lord sort of does that to you, you say, well, that's fine, but tell me the rest. And I really believe, as I look to the Lord, that He gave me a message for us today around this aspect of vacations. And I've been following some of you. If you've been away, and nice thing about Facebook, you go on vacation with people and they put their pictures up and tell you the story, what's happening. Most popular weeks for vacation is the last 2 weeks of July. And of course, we're just finishing it. So vacation's over. If you haven't gone yet, you know, it's too late. Vacation time. Some interesting facts about vacation, just sort of checked online, and here's some things that came up. The most visited amusement park is the Magic Kingdom in Florida. Disney World is the most visited amusement park. And you know that on the beaches around the world, every 60 seconds, 146 cubic yards of sandcastles are being built? Every minute, 146 cubic yards of sand putting together in castles. If beaches isn't your thing, the largest swimming pool in the world is in Chile. It holds 66 million gallons. It's a kilometer long. Think about that. I went online, and when I read that, I thought, I got to see this. So when I Googled it, and yeah, you can see this long thing. It stretches along the beach in front of the hotels. Then, you know that a third of the world's airports are in the U.S.? A third of the world airports, because people are traveling. And that at any one time, there's 61,000 people in the air over the U.S. 61,000 people. Right now, there's 61,000 people flying somewhere. Again, it shows how mobile we are. The largest airport in the world, not the largest, I'm sorry, the busiest airport in the world now is Atlanta. There's long flights, short flights. The shortest flight is in Scotland between the island of Westray to Papa Westray. You're 2 minutes in the air. I mean, you could hold your breath up there. 2 minutes and you're back down again. And the longest flight is from Sydney to Dallas. Now, we've flown from LA to Sydney, but from Sydney to Dallas, it lasts 16 hours and you cover 8,500 miles. So that is a long way to travel. The likelihood, you know, you see all this and you think, well, I know, I don't know, I think I'm going to fly. A little nervous, like Kay's father. He never flew. He said to me one time, he said, I don't know how I'm going to die, but I know one way I'm not going to die. And that's going to be in an airplane crash. And but you know, it's really quite safe. you know, the likelihood of dying in or being in a plane crash in America is 1 in 11 million. 1 in 11 million. So you're pretty safe to go up in a plane. Now, it'd be different if you are a space tourist. The first space tourist was U.S. businessman Dennis Tito, who reportedly paid $20 million in 2001 to go to the International Space Station. He got up and back safely, but I don't know whether the odds are as good going to space. Most people don't go to space. You know, most people go to France. It's the most visited country in the world, is France. Italy's not too far behind. If you've been to Italy and Rome, you've gone to the Trevi Fountain there in Rome where you throw a coin over your back. Do you know that 3,000 euros a day is thrown into that fountain? That's $4,400 Canadian. And they clean it out every night. and they give it to charities. I threw a coin into the fountain. It was the smallest coin I had in my, like a penny over my back into the fountain. Hotels are interesting. Las Vegas has the most hotels in of any city. And if you wanted to spend a night in each hotel, you know how long it would take you to get through all the hotels? Close to 300 years before you would be able to spend one night in each hotel in Las Vegas. The most expensive hotel in the world is in Geneva, Switzerland. It costs $83,200 a night for the Royal Penthouse Suite in the Hotel President Wilson. Now, I don't know what's so special about that. I wouldn't sleep if I was there. I think I'd try to get every dollar's worth just by being awake in that room. And if you want to know what country has the most vacations, well, it's Austria. They guarantee, this is the minimum, the legal minimum is 22 paid vacation days and 13 paid holidays each year. That's just where you start off. So if you want to have lots of vacations, move to Austria. You don't hear much about Austria. I guess everyone's away somewhere. But those are just some facts about vacations as we enjoy this time of year. Here's a question for you. Did Jesus ever take a vacation? I was talking to someone this week, and I asked him, do you think Jesus ever had a comb? Something to think about. A little pocket, have a comb in his robe. Lots of things you can ask about Jesus. Do you think Jesus ever took a vacation? And this person said quickly, no, I don't think so. But I'm not sure that that's the case. And I want to talk about two words. It's the title of our message this morning. Vocation versus vacation. Vocation versus vacation. Very close, these two words. Vocation comes from the Latin word vox, V-O-X, and it means voice. And the related word is vocare, meaning to call. So the word vocation comes from the same word we get vocal from. It literally means that you are proclaiming to the world your calling, which is interesting. It was originated with Christianity. Now, you know, it's used in secular society. What's your vocation? But it originally was a sense of you have a calling, and now you are following that calling, and that's your vocation. You're expressing it. So that's the word vocation. Now, the word vacation, the root word for vacation, is from the same word that we get the word vacant, and it comes from the Latin word vac, V-A-C, which means empty. So you are emptying a place of your presence. So when you're on vacation, you are vacating, you're emptying a place you were, and you are vacating it. And so, it's to summarize this, a vocation is to undertake a certain kind of work in response to a perceived summons, a calling. A vocation is work that we do in response to a summons. It's a result of our calling. It's good to have a calling. It's good to have a vocation. You will not be happy with life unless you have a vocation. If you just try to fill your time with all kinds of stuff and you don't have a vocation, you won't be happy. You'll wonder, there's got to be something more, because God has a calling for each one of us. If you know the Lord, He'll speak your name. He'll call you. He'll give you a summons. And then you follow that summons. And as you live that out and express it, vocalize it, not just with words, with your actions, that is your vocation. You'll never feel happier or more fulfilled than when you have a vocation. Vocation. All right, let's look on the other side, vacation. Vacation is freedom from some business or activity. You've vacated your daily obligation and duty. Vacated it. No longer occupying it. You're gone. You've gotten out of Dodge. You've left the city. You've left the building. That's a vacation. So, we ask the question, would Jesus take a vacation? Well, we might quickly say, no, he wouldn't take a vacation. And you might think of John 9 and verse 4, where Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. So again, Jesus had a tremendous sense of calling. He knew why he had come into the world. He knew what he was called to. He was focused. And he said, I've got to do this. I got to do it while it's day. The night's coming when I'm going to run out of time. I need to do this. So there was an urgency. At age 12, he knew what it was. When they had taken him to Jerusalem for the Passover, and he was missing. They found him in the temple, and they asked him what he was doing. And Jesus said, why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And so there's the matter that Jesus had this vocation. Oh, man, I can't stress it enough. And I don't know why I'm feeling it this morning in this second service. There's someone here. This is for you. You've been struggling. You don't know what you should do. You feel dissatisfied in your life. Listen. You need a vocation. How do you get a vocation? You hear the call of the Lord. You get close enough to the Lord. You seek the Lord. He calls your name and he gives you a mission. Every one of us has a calling. And you can trace that down through the scriptures. That'd be a great... This is for somebody this morning. I'm telling you right now. This is for someone this morning. You need to trace the sense of calling in the Bible. Because God is right ready to give you a calling. Lord, right now I just pray in this simple moment, as I just pause in this message, that, Lord, you would just speak the name of people. Call us, Lord. Call us to our mission. May we have a sense that this is where you want us to be. This is what we're to do. May we be as sure about it as Jesus was. And Lord, may they experience it today, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Jesus said all this. So you think, well, he wouldn't take a vacation. But he did. How do you know? I found it in the Bible. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. This is what it says. The apostles, these were the disciples of Jesus, returned to Jesus from their ministry tour, told him all they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. I mean, they were engaged. They were working. The crowds were pressing in. And there were good reports. They're given the good reports of what happened. And what does Jesus say? You know what? let's take a few days off. So what does it say? So they left by boat. They went on a nice cruise. They left by boat for a quiet place. Nice resort area somewhere. Where they could be alone. Where they could get away from the pressures of what was happening daily in their life. They were going to get away to be alone. Now, we'll talk about this a little later in the message. Let me just fill in the rest of these verses. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving. And people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of him. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat. And he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. So Jesus is withdrawn. They're getting away. But some of the people went and he met people while he was on vacation. And he ministered to them because he had a heart for them. What was his heart? His calling. His vocation. His vocation. Even though he was withdrawing, he never lost the sense of his vocation. And he ministered to people there. So I would say to you, God is in favor of vacations, aren't you? Everyone can say amen to that. God is in favor of vacations. In fact, he established a weekly vacation, even in the creation, Genesis 2:3. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So even in creation, after 6 days of work, God said, we'll take a little vacation. And he established a weekly day of rest that we are exhorted to maintain. Now, in our culture and in our day, the scripture is clear. It's not just one particular day, but there is a sense of taking a day. It was established in the scripture, and you have a day of rest. Even throughout the year, seven feasts the Lord had given, times where they stopped their work, what they were engaged in, and they engaged in a feast. One was the Feast of Tabernacles, where they actually went camping. They went and they camped out to remember the times when they were in the wilderness and they didn't have homes and they were traveling. In fact, a number of years ago, I was working on a citywide event with a Jewish rabbi, and I was going to his home to meet about this event. And when I went in, he welcomed me into his home. He said, let me show you something. He took me to his back door, and out in their backyard, they had tents set up. He said, we're celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. He said, the whole family were camping out in the backyard. So it just shows, even to this day, Jewish people are recognizing that there were times set apart, seven, so that's a little more than every 2 months, that there was a time set. In God's economy, as he was setting Israel up, there were vacation times, if I could put it that way, set into their yearly schedule. Jesus and his family traveled up to Jerusalem for the week of Passover. We already talked about that when he was 12. I think that's probably the closest thing that we could imagine Jesus doing as a family, Joseph and Mary, going with them on vacation up to Jerusalem for that feast that was going on. So vacations and vocations are not in opposition to each other. Even though the definitions seem to be in opposition, the Word of God embraces both. Vocation, vacation, they go together. And here's the statement. Vacations allow you to be refreshed so you can fulfill your vocation. You need vacations to fulfill your vocation. And they're built in. It's really a must for Christians, for anybody in that particular, but especially Christians who have a sense of spiritual calling. Sometimes we think the spiritual calling should remove all need for resting, leisure, diversion. Shouldn't really. How many times do you feel condemned because you're just sitting and doing nothing, and you're on a beach, or you're watching a ball game, or you're doing something else. No, they all go together. They don't have to be in conflict with one another. So here's some reasons you should take a vacation. Wives, you got your thing out so you can tell your husbands about this, or vice versa. Here's some reasons you should take a vacation. Now, I'm glad Kay's not here this morning in this service, because she'd be sort of looking at me with a stern face like, sure, you preach it, but let's see you practice this. Always thinking maybe I'm not taking enough time off. But here are some reasons you should take a vacation. Number one, it's a time of necessary rest. It's a time to rest. You need to rest. It's not go, go, go all the time. You need to rest. Listen to what Galatians 6:9 says. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So you can be doing what's right and the Lord pleased with everything that you're doing, but you get weary in doing good. But you're not to be weary in doing good. You shouldn't lose heart. You shouldn't be discouraged. And listen, you can, if you're just going, going, going without a time of rest, you'll get weary. And the more weary you get, then the more down you get. So you have to be able to cast off that weariness in order to be refreshed. Getting away. In fact, you can just Google this. And I just saw a list of a long things just physically that getting away vacations do. It relieves stress. It refreshes you, rejuvenates you. It revigorates you. I remember, it's funny how you remember things as a boy. I remember as a boy, my dad was a hard worker. He was a dairy farmer. We had a dairy farm, but he also had a trucking business, and then we had a stone quarry at the back of the farm that was operating when I was about 12 years of age, and so there was a stone quarry and hauling stone and all the work during the farm, and I remember Dad was just busy, busy all the time, and this particular year, they were hauling the stone out, and Dad's trucks were hauling overnight. They would do the stockpiling overnight, and Dad hired workers to go. But I remember different times, you know, they would call in sick, and if Dad couldn't get anyone, he would drive the truck all night long, and then the next morning would do the farm work. And I remember this particular time, one of the trucks breaking down. And Dad was just sort of at the ends of himself. Like, it was just, you know how you just get pressed and pressed and so many things, and I got to fix this, and I got to do this, and it just began overwhelming. But we had planned to go away to a camp meeting, Outlet Camp down near Brockville in Ontario. And it was a Christian camp, and we had planned to go as a family. And so Dad just dropped everything and said, you know what, we're going to go. And I still remember, and it's strange that it comes back to my mind now. I remember him saying as he got back, man, he said, I just feel different. When I left, everything was down. It's like, I can't do anything. I'm like, oh, man, this is like a huge mountain. But he said he got back. He was refreshed after those few days away. He got the truck fixed, everything, got things straight, and, you know, went on. And so don't underestimate the need you have to get away. You don't realize you need to get away until you get away. Sometimes you can be of a personality that's driving and you got to be engaged, or you have a sense of the vocation, the calling so much. But you're not like Jesus, who after he got the reports of everything that they did, he said, you know what, let's get away for a while. Let's go to the other side. Let's get on the boat. Let's go to a quiet place. We need to have those times built in that you're going to get away. It refreshes you. The demands of life can overwhelm you. You're not a human doing. You're a human being. And vocation has a lot to do with doing. Vacations has a lot to do with being. And the human being does the doing. And the doing is important. And it's why we're set on this earth, the mission you have on earth. But there has to be times when you withdraw and you realize it's not just what I'm doing for God. I can just be who I am. I can rest in his presence. I can relax. I don't have to feel the pressure. I got to do this. Every now and then I can just pull back and relax from it. Doing can bleed you dry. Really can. And you need to just simply sit back and restore your soul. Be satisfied in your soul. It helps you remember who you are and who you belong to. So that's the first reason to take a vacation. Here's the second reason. Vacations give you fresh perspective. Fresh perspective. Getting away helps you to reflect on where you've been. Jesus took those regular times away, as we've said. While you're away, you get fresh insights. You think new thoughts. You're not so engaged with the focus on this. You can actually step back a little bit and you can see some things that you never saw before. And we all need to do this. You've got to pull back. You've got to get a bigger perspective. You can get so focused in on what you're doing that you miss why you're doing it or what other people are doing. And so it's when you pull back and you have time to reflect, to read a book that you normally wouldn't be able to read, to have time just to think about things and maybe talk with your spouse or someone that you're with. Because you don't have time otherwise. The clock is gone. You know that they don't put clocks in casinos? Now, the world can figure that out. If we're going to get all the money out of these people that we need to get out of, let's take the clocks away. It'd be good for us to do it as we do our work for the Lord. Be able to draw back and not have a clock and be able to just relax and see a bigger picture, to think new thoughts. Here's the third reason you should take a vacation. Vacations allow much more focused time with family and friends, or away from family and friends, depending on the situation, but mostly with family and friends. Focused time. See, we all need to live a balanced life. As you're working on your vocation, it doesn't mean you ignore your family. It doesn't mean you don't, you know, have times of recreation and so forth. All those things should be a balanced life ongoing. But it's on vacations where you vacate your responsibilities, where you vacate the daily duties. And now you have extra time. That is time that you can spend with your family. You can engage with your kids. You can talk to them. You can be involved in what they want to do. And it's a time of just connecting with family and friends. You can give them more focused time than you can when you're involved in a day-to-day activities. And so it's an important time. You're able to sit back and maybe send some solo trips with, as you're on vacation, spend some time with each one of your children, or again, with your spouse. Here's the fourth one. A vacation can help you cultivate new interests and see new places. It can broaden your world. Go someplace you haven't been before. Do something that you're not normally doing. You need to broaden your world. You know what creativity is? It's taking some principle or activity in this sphere of endeavor and be able to translate it over to another sphere of endeavor. And so you take that, two things that are disconnected, but you see a connection about that now connects with this. And so this is creativity. But it's not so much that you created something new, you've made new connections. So a lot of times, I'll read business books, and I'll read books on psychology, and as I'm reading it, knowing the Word of God, you realize, man, that connects here. Or you might just be reading something on flying, or you're reading something on scuba diving, or plants, or gardening, or whatever it might be. You're reading something different, but you know what? It'll all relate to your vocation. And when you are open and you're sensing it, you're getting more material to be creative with on the things that God has asked you to do. It's like, they tell me, an artist who has a palette with different colors, mostly the primary colors, and then the artist knows what he wants to put on, you know, on the, what do they call that? Canvas. I'm glad you're with me. So he takes a little bit of that and a little bit of that, and he mixes it. And he knows the different combinations, and actually trial and error. Now, the more colors you have on your palette, the more expressions you have. Now, I'm talking like I really know what I'm talking about, don't I? But those of you who have read my book, you realize I'm colorblind, so a lot of this is hearsay, I'm telling you. But you need to broaden your world. Be exposed to many things. Vacations are an excellent time because you've withdrawn from your normal activities and the things that would be taking your time for a worthwhile endeavor, your calling, what you're here for. But now I've taken some time away. I've come aside. Now I can spend some time with this and something I normally wouldn't get into. But I can do it. But you're doing it not just in a vacuum. You're doing it with a sense of, I am now in the presence of God. And I'm able to do it. And you're seeing everything in light of His presence. Okay, so here's a real caution that you need to hear on vacations. Here's the caution. Don't take a vacation from God. And a lot of people do. They sort of say vacation is a vacation from God. And so I get away and it's like I don't think about God. I don't read my Bible. I'm having a vacation. And so we get involved in other things and then they really fall into situations and sin in that vacation. And we all know the phrase, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But that's a lie. It doesn't. God sees everything that happens in Vegas. And you're going to give an account before the Lord. So that's a lie. But you understand. You get away. You're in a different atmosphere. I'm away from all my restraints. And if you feel like you're getting away from God, vacations can be a very dangerous time for you. And there's a lot of temptations on vacations. But don't take a vacation from God. Make sure you take God with you. And you can get more rest with God in your vacation than any other way. Listen to what it says in Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our rest comes from God and being with God. He's our rest. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. So whatever you're doing when you go on vacation, yes, you're withdrawing even from your spiritual vocation of the duties and obligations of the time, but you're not withdrawing from God. We're to be filled with His Spirit. We're to be filled with His Spirit all the time. And so you never vacation from God. He goes with you. So here's some tips, a few tips to how you take God on vacation with you. Number one, well, this isn't in the notes, but I'll just throw this in. You need to ask maybe where the Lord wants to go on vacation. There may be a few places He says, I don't think we should be going there. You can't take God with you to a certain location on vacation, then don't go there. All right, that's just thrown in. That's not in the notes. Here's the first thing you need to do. Go to church. Go to church on vacation. You know, some of the most fulfilling times that we have had on vacation is when we've gone to church. As a family, we just always figured Sunday comes, we're going to be in church. We don't know where it is. We don't know necessarily where it's going to go, but we'll find a church somewhere to go on Sunday. You know, when you're going on TripAdvisor and you're trying to find hotels and cars and attractions, why don't you just flip over to churches in that area and see what church you'd like to attend. I tell you, God will honor that. God will bless you. He meets you when you go to church. Some of our fondest memories as a family are going to church. I remember one time we were in Washington, and we were looking for a church. I didn't know what else was going through, so I said, let's go here. It wasn't that far away. We went, nice church building. We walked in. We were the only white couple in this church of 1,000 people. And they were very gracious to us, very warm, welcoming, and greeted us warmly, and we enjoyed the service. But we didn't think it was going to go so long. We had sort of put an hour and a half, 2 hours to go to church. Well, we were in there about 2.5 hours, and they were just wrapping up the song service, and they had had some exhortations and something, and they hadn't even got to the main speaker yet. And so we're sort of watching, because we had other things planned we were going to do that day. And so about 3.5 hours in, I said to Kay, you know what, we're going to have to slip out. But you don't slip out of that church. I mean, they ran a tight ship there, and I can't tell you all the details, but it was a delight. I mean, we still laugh about it, and how we tried to get out of the church without people stopping us and, you know, feeling like we were not comfortable and so forth. But anyway, it's just a delight going to church. And then God speaks to us. I remember going to Mexico, and we decided we're going to go to church that morning. In particular, people we were with, you know, said to us, and when I suggested going to church, they said, you're in church all the time. You're on vacation. I said, yeah, I want to go to church. And so we did. We found this church to go to, and God spoke to me there in that church. Gave me, what was a personal verse. You know how, it's not like, when you're in the presence of the Lord and you're attuned to his voice, he'll speak to you. And maybe you're the only one that hears it. But the pastor was talking from Psalm 92. And in that psalm, it was talking about you that are planted in the house of the Lord. You're going to bear much fruit. And then I was reading the rest of the portion around it. And one of the verses says, you will flourish and bear much fruit in old age. Now, I don't consider myself old. I just consider myself older. But, you know, you get to a stage in life and you sort of, you know, you can see the end clearer than when you're 20. And I felt the Lord just speak to me, your latter days are going to be more fruitful than what you've had in the past. You're going to flourish. You're going to bear much fruit. That came out of going to a church on vacation. I still think about it. That was a few years back. And I still think about it as you sort of look to, you know, what you're doing and things that are happening and the stage of life you're at. And I still have this expectation. It's just going to be more fruitful. We're going to see more fruit. And we've experienced it. The church is growing. Avenues of ministry are opening up more and more. And that's exactly what the Lord said. But I need to lay hold of that by faith. Say yes. Now that happened by attending a church on vacation. Because we pressed through to say, I want to go to church. And I could tell you over and over experiences like that. Here's the second way to take God on vacation. Be intentional to engage God daily. Be intentional to engage God daily. Now, you're out of your normal routine, so you may be not getting up to spend a certain time in prayer early in the morning because you don't have to get up early in the morning. And it may be that you're not following necessarily your reading guide that you would use daily at home. I'm not saying you just, because sometimes you withdraw from the obligations and duty. That's part of vacation. But you never withdraw from God. And so it's a constant sense that you're going to see God that day. And you might pray in a different way. You might read a different kind of book, a different kind of devotional. But you're paying attention that God's with you, everything that you're doing. Especially if you're out in nature and enjoying the outdoors. Listen to what Romans 1:20 says. Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. So many times sitting by the ocean or being in the mountains or walking through the woods, whatever aspect of creation you're in. And that's usually where we gravitate to on vacation. You need to realize God will speak to that. Just be alert to where you are. Be aware of what you're watching and what you're seeing. Give praise to God. Glorify God in it. Every time you go to take a picture, oh, I need to take a picture of that. Just think, God created that. That's beautiful. The beauty of God's creation is something else. And it all comes out of this engaging the Lord and paying attention and allowing the Lord to be part of your daily vacation. Here's the third tip to take God on vacation with you. Take vacations on purpose. Add a spiritual aspect. Now, when I say vacation on purpose, it reminds me of a camp we went to called Camp of the Woods in the Adirondack Mountains in New York. And they called their camp, when it was a vacation on purpose. So you went there. There was a morning service. They had a speaker. And then they had all kinds of activities during the afternoon and evenings. But yet they had a morning chapel service that we went to every morning. And it was interesting. They had special music and they had special speakers. And they called it a vacation on purpose. Don't think you have to get away from God when you go on vacation. When I was growing up, as I mentioned to you, the vacations I remember were church vacations at camps. My vacation was to go to youth camp, went to family camp, we went to camps. And you know, really, in the 18th and 19th century, this was very common for people to take their vacation and they went to church camps. It's not quite as popular today, but you certainly can add a spiritual dimension to your vacation, as I've already mentioned, by going to church or finding something along the way that's spiritual. Last weekend, we took our granddaughter, Alexa, back to Tennessee. So we were driving down, and of course, we knew that they had opened the Ark in Kentucky, and we were passing right by it, so we made plans to stop. We got a hotel, and we spent last Saturday, a week ago Saturday, at the Ark. Full replica of the Ark, full-size replica. Quite an impressive place. I tell you, I was blown away by it. I was impressed how well they had done it. And when we went in, there were so many displays and exhibits, you know, that explained so many aspects. Because, see, that's attacked. Oh, you can't believe in the Ark. Can't believe in Noah. That could never happen. How would that happen? And here you go and you see a scientific presentation, full-scale replica of how it happened. Could all the animals get on? They talked about all the different kinds of animals. They talked about how many animals would have to be there of every kind. They had them allocated in the ark. This is where this would be. Showed how they would water it, the way they had to water. You know, the thing that always confused me was ventilation. Like, I grew up in a farm, and I knew cows in a barn, that it needs ventilation. If the fans went off, then those cows are going to suffocate. It's too, they just not. And I'm thinking, you know, in the back of my mind, how in the world did they have ventilation? Because you read the Sunday school account and you see the picture, you know, there's an ark with a little window. And you realize that couldn't happen. And how did they get light into the ark? How did they see? You know, the different displays, it answered all those questions of how the ventilation would have happened, and had it actually functioning. because this is a full. And how they got water and collected water and got it to the three floors of there, and they had it laid out in the ark. And so I say it may not have been exactly the way that they depicted it, but you realized it's no longer crazy. It's no longer impossible. This is very feasible. And it helps. I thought then, you know what we need to do? We need to take the youth group and send them down for a week to the Ark and the Creation Museum and allow them to get a balance between what they're learning in school and what they can see scientifically. This is possible. What the Word of God is true. Anyway, all that was on our vacation last weekend because we were intentional about adding a spiritual dimension when we were taking Alexa back to Tennessee. And here's the final one. Look for divine appointments along the way. Divine appointments along the way. When you go on vacation, you're going to meet new people. You're going to meet people that, if you are alert, God will make the connections. Jesus saw this when he went on vacation. Got on the boat, went the other side, but there were some people there that he could minister to. And he stopped and ministered to them. Still not quite the throng that he left, but he didn't hesitate to minister to the people while they were on vacation. And again, I can't tell you all the stories, but I'm amazed how if you are open, God will bring those divine connections. And I've told you many times about the gentleman I met on the plane that had been thrown. He told me as we sat down, the last flight I was on, they escorted me off. They kicked me off the plane. I'm thinking, oh, he's swearing. He's wondering when the bar is going to open. And I'm sitting next to him thinking, whoo, what's this? But I asked, I remember praying, said, Lord, give me the key to this man's heart. And I won't go into the details of it. But through that flight, the Lord gave me insight, and we talked. And he went from being so antagonistic against God till at the end, he was telling me, now, I'm from Calgary. Is there a church there that I can attend? And I'm going to take my wife to the church. There was such a change. It was a divine encounter. But I would have been turned off. I would have thought, this guy's not open. He's not open to any of these things. But if you just say, no, God set something there. A few years back when Kay was celebrating her birthday, the whole family, last time the whole family were together, all our children, their spouses and grandkids, we were in Daytona Beach, and we were there celebrating Kay's birthday, and Sunday came, and I said, we're going to go to church. I don't remember now. Maybe not everyone was enthused about going. I said, Sunday, we're going to go to church. And so I found this church we were going to go to. And we had to go early enough because there was a slew of us. And we all wanted to sit together. So we had to find some seats in the church where we could all sit together. And we were in the service. And that day, that church, I never knew anything about the church. They had a special speaker. And the special speaker was Dale Everett. Some of you that attend here, you know Dale Everett is a speaker that we've had here twice. And when we were there, I felt the Lord just speak to me, you need to have him come. And I talked to him after. We sort of connected, found that we had some things in common. And I invited him to come speak at the Anchor Conference that year. He came up. He's been to our church twice. And he's been a blessing to us. But that was all because we went to church on a Sunday morning. And I believe that was a divine encounter, that there was a connection made. Now, if I had never gone to church, I wouldn't have had that connection. And I've shared also with you about last summer when we went to New York City. We were going to a conference, but we went a couple of days early to do some sightseeing. And while we were there, I wanted to go to a prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And so we went to the Wednesday night prayer meeting rather than going sightseeing. And it was in that prayer meeting, God gave me a breakthrough and an answer to prayer that changed things. When we got back, a whole situation that we were dealing with had completely changed. And I realized that man prayed for that because he had asked us to pray with someone just next to us because it was a prayer meeting. And this man prayed for me, and that was a breakthrough. And it was in that prayer meeting that we got the theme for this year about going deeper. Because as I sat there and felt the presence of God in such a real way, 2,000 people in this prayer meeting on a Wednesday night thinking, how do they do this? How do they bring that? Well, the intensity here is something beyond I've ever seen. And I thought, there's something deeper here. There's something deeper here. They've reached something way beyond, because at the surface, things were the same. Sang the same songs we sing. Did the same ways of prayer that we do in prayer. But there was something there of power and depth. And God spoke to me. And we've been pursuing it this year. Now, what happened if on Wednesday night I thought, we're in New York. Let's not go. See, what I'm trying to share with you, take God on vacation with you. Take vacations, but take God with you. It will help your vocation, and you'll fulfill all that God wants for you. Let's stand together this morning. Amen. Can we pray together? Lord, I thank you for this message that you are a God of vacations. And Lord, that we need not to feel condemned as we take time apart and we go away. Help us to be refreshed, renewed, revigorated. But help us, Lord, to take you on vacation with us. Renew our hearts and our spirit. Lord, refresh us. Make those divine encounters that we need to have as we're away. Lord, I pray for everyone here, whether they've been on vacation or going to go on vacation or in the future, that this message this morning would just sit in our hearts and help us to be a strength, that we can accomplish your will and not be weary in well-doing. Bless this congregation. I pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Now, next week, don't all go on vacation at the same time.